And I can tell you that we're going to be drilling San Martin a lot more than what we would have 6 months ago. So from 6 months from today to the future, you're going to see an extremely different company based on drilling results, expenditures made on exploration. And I'm really excited about that, Steve, because I've learned a lesson and it impacts the whole company. And when I learn a lesson, the whole company shares it with me. And it shares that we have a big potential in front of us and we're not seen that way. What we're seen for, and as we're judged, if you will, is our production each month. And we're a junior producer, so a lot of people don't really care the fact that we produce and we actually make money.
Good day, everybody. It's me, just Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks. I am joined by Robert Eadie, President and CEO of StarCore International Mines. Robert, how are you, my friend?
Very good, Steve. Thanks very much for having us back. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. So before we start, I want to see if you can give us the ticker, your website, how people can find you, Robert, especially since we may accidentally have released the wrong symbol. Sorry about that.
So it's Sam on the TSX, SAM TSX website, starcore.com, StarCore.E. dot com, and you can find us that way, and investor at starcore.com. Answer any of your questions.
Awesome. For those who've got the press release, please pay attention. We gave you the wrong symbol. That's our fault. StarCore is one of our sponsors, and I personally am, as well as my kids are investors in the company. And so, Robert, we've been following you for a bit. So, for people who don't know, if you can give us the 50,000-foot view, what is StarCore? What drew you to your projects? If you could give us the history of the assets you have and what you're producing currently.
Thank you, Steve. StarCore is a junior producer. I say junior producer because our production is about 10,000 ounces a year, forward-looking statement and growing. We bought the mine 20 years ago. We are a survivor. We've been through everything you can imagine and back, and so we're here today at this wonderful cross-section of the market, which we believe is the beginning of a super cycle. Again, personal view, forward-looking statement. So we produce gold and silver from San Martin. San Martin is a large property, 12,992 hectares, and we're now starting exploration on the other parts of the project. And then we last October added another project called La Tortilla. La Tortilla is a historic silver mine, and it's 2 hours away by truck. And the reason that's important to mention is that because we're going to process at San Martin. We're going to truck the ore to San Martin, use existing infrastructure, existing facilities, existing permits, and produce from San Martin. So, in a nutshell, that's what we are, and we're focused on that. We've had other projects, other focuses in the past, and now we're really focused on three revenue streams. The three revenue streams are oxide ore from San Martin, carbonaceous ore from San Martin, and silver from La Tortilla. The combination of the three ores in the next 18 to 24 months, our projections, our forward-looking statements, is that will generate about $165 million in net cash flow to the company over 6 years using $3,500 gold and $50 silver. So at the 50,000 foot view, that's us.
Robert, if you can give us the quick difference between oxide and carbon ore, and then if you can just tell me kind of what you've been producing. I noticed there was a press release, and if you can tell me if that was a surprising result and what we can expect moving forward.
Sure. Oxide ore is regular ore, gold and silver embedded in the rock. Carbonaceous ore, it's carbon. It's like your old barbecue coals. It's charcoal around the ore, and we have to strip that off to get to the oxide ore. The recent press release results were okay. They weren't great, but it's like running any company. You know, it fluctuates from quarter to quarter. And so this quarter, well, we had some growing pains because we started treating the carbonaceous ore. So our focus goes to that, and the next quarter, I believe, forward-looking statement, that we'll bring it back up and we'll get back on track and improve our production of what we're doing. So, like I said, 18 to 24 months is our goal. There is nothing in mining that comes easy, or you just bring it online and then it works on the day that you think it's going to work. You know, it's a lot of chemistry involved, a lot of production, a lot of collaboration between departments to bring things into fruition. So that's really where we were in the last quarter.
So how much in terms of production was the dip? Was it an alarming for investors? Was it surprising to you? And how much concern do you personally have?
No, I don't have any concern. Was it in it was single digit differences. And so is it alarming? No, it's not alarming. It's just it's growth pains. You're bringing on a whole different type of ore that you're treating. And so it's, you know, if you were a private company, you wouldn't even notice it. It would just be, oh, well, we brought on another line of production. And so that line of production's taking away time, staff, resources, and so that's it. About Republic, so we report everything. So we've drawn away from resources from oxide ore, and we put it toward carbonaceous ore, and so it brought it down a little bit, single digits. Am I concerned? No, I'm not concerned whatsoever, because I know that we're on track.
Robert, it was great to meet you guys. Great to meet you in person for the first time. We met in the Atlanta conference, and we've had, dinner with some of the investors, and I know that there was a lot of buzz and excitement. Curious as to how the Atlanta conference was for you. What kind of connections were you able to make, and what did you learn and get out of it?
The Atlantic conference that you guys put on was fantastic. It was a, you know, well done job, well done. Quality people that came out, very educated questions, educated investors, and quality questions, which is always really important. When people take the time to ask you about what you do and, you know, what you've been doing for many years, and they point out, oh, well, you're a survivor, it's fantastic. The acknowledgement is great, and to meet you and Andy in person was fantastic. To meet all the team that was involved in the conference was great. And I learned myself one of the most important lessons I've learned in my career, which is that has being a survivor affected the future of the company and maybe made me a little bit conservative into my outlook into the future? And the answer is yes, it has. And so I learned that I'm maybe holding back a little bit where I should be advancing a lot more as far as exploration goes at San Martin. And so when I left the meeting, and as I learned from some of the investors, I pretty much stayed awake for most of the night thinking about what we've done or not done in the future. And I can tell you that we're going to be drilling San Martin a lot more than what we would have 6 months ago. So from 6 months from today to the future, you're going to see an extremely different company based on drilling results, expenditures made on exploration. And I'm really excited about that, Steve, because I've learned a lesson and it impacts the whole company. And when I learn a lesson, the whole company shares it with me. And it shares that we have a big potential in front of us, and we're not seen that way. What we're seen for, and as we're judged, if you will, is our production each month. And we're a junior producer, so a lot of people don't really care the fact that we produce and we actually make money. It's not that important because it isn't, you know, $100 million a month or whatever as other mining companies, but we own the property 100%. We don't have NSRs. We don't have any commitments to anybody. We don't have any debt. We have pure blue sky. And for that, it's extremely exciting. And then we just finished a extremely large helicopter survey of the property, which is aeromagnetic. So we flew the entire property, and it'll go through the company that did the process for us. They'll come up with the report, and then we have a specialist from Europe who will then review the report and then give us the details, and from that we'll be drilling. And that for me is advancing and exciting. It's really exciting. That's mining, that's exploration, that's where you make your, that's where dreams are made. So
Robert, got a question for you. So one of the reasons why I personally invest, I know that some investors were excited before, even before the conference, was because of the no debt, because you guys are a junior producer that has no debt, you're cash flowing, you've got an incredible share structure, and you're t now talking about changing things, where you're hoping for the better. Now, in junior mining, some companies focus on steady production, financial discipline, while others prioritize exploration and growth, as we're discussing. And you guys are a cash flowing producer right now. So how do you balance those priorities, and where do you think the biggest value creation comes from? And you talked about the blue sky upside. What is that upside?
well, when you're in a large system that we are, a large, a very large system, the upside is that what else is there? And since we own 12,992 hectares, which is 10 by 13 kilometers, what else is on the property that we own? What other discoveries can be made? Since we only occupy 11%, and that's what we've been mining for 20 years. It's actually been mined for 34 years. But what else is there? And that's the unknown. And Steve, you name the geologists that by name or by reputation. We've had people at the mine see the mine over the 20 years. I've been at this for a long time and searching for, but never really been able to focus like we can now on drilling and finding out the potential. We've modeled after five different mines in Mexico. The worst case scenario is that the mine lasted 45 years. So we have another 11 years if that's the case. The best is Cananea, which started as a small gold mine, turned into a major copper mine, and it's about 110 years old now. So that is the potential, and that is mining. And if you look in history, you see that generally the third, fourth, fifth owner of a mine is the one that makes a big discovery. Well, I intend to be that person. I intend to be that CEO that makes that big discovery. And so, if we look at it from a risk reward scenario, and we take down, first of all, take the science. Okay, so we're working from a top-down science model. Okay, and I'm going through the science. And then we take it from a share structure. Well, fully diluted, we have 103 million shares outstanding. We currently have about $13 million in the bank. Can we afford to drill? Absolutely. Where is the best place to find a mine or find other discoveries
Next, an
next to a
existing mill.
mine? Exactly. So everything is there. So
Yeah.
everything points in the favor of us. And it was a matter of execution. And maybe I would have got there, in time because I'm very methodical in my, as you can see over the last 20 years, I'm very methodical. But being in Atlanta, it gave me the inspiration to accelerate, especially in the market that we're in. And the people that I spoke with were very interesting, and they asked excellent questions and very encouraging. So that's what I learned in Atlanta. And I was thinking about our interview. And as a CEO, you're always thinking about how do I improve things for investors? I'm a large investor myself. So how do I improve things? How do I make things better? What can I afford to do? What technology can affect us? How can we make this better? So in Atlanta, I got the magic combination of okay, and we're already on the process, but I just wasn't, I would say, as motivated as I am now. Now, as soon as these reports come back, we'll be drilling. So now here's another difference is that because we have a mine there, because we have administration, for me to start drilling, it's like I call Steve the drilling contractor. Hey, Steve, can you be here next week? Yeah, bring your biggest rig. Thanks. Okay. Because we have medical, we have an ambulance, we have kitchen, we have mechanics, we have everything. So we can support a contractor in drilling in a heartbeat. And that's different than I did in pure exploration. Pure exploration, they got a mob and demob. And oh, I plan to have a driller on site very, very quickly, as soon as I have all the technical information available to me.
Robert, I want to shift gears just a little bit and go to the finance a bit. We talked about the share structure, the share owners. You talked about you owning a lot of shares, and I know that some of your partners have done so as well. If you can give us the evolution of the share structure over time, including financing and warrants, and how that shapes where the company is today. And I think you also mentioned that you have a strong retail base. If my understanding, it's either 100 or close to 100%. Do you think that as a strength or a challenge? And do you see that dynamic changing over time?
That's a good question, Steve. We evolved into it's 100% retail. We have large shareholders who are high net worth individuals, but we have no institution. Do I see that changing? Probably. But we don't need money because we generate money. And so if we want to take on, something bigger than it would be an option to take some institutions in and equity financing, but do we need it right now? No. So is it a benefit? Everything is a double-edged sword, I find in life. So if somebody has to sell a million shares, they can sell a million shares any day of the week in the company. If I have an institution that has 10 million shares and has to sell, that's a bit of a problem. So puts a lot of pressure on the stock. So in that way, and it's an advantage. And when you have a large retail base, as you get more information and as you have a discovery, for example, as I forward-looking statement feel I'm going to have a discovery, that many more people know about it. And since we've been around for 20 years, we have a reputation in the market as a small producer, but straightforward and transparent. So that will allow us a lot of credibility with our discovery. So that helps a lot. Institutions, I would look at institutions that want to be partners and supportive, like funds that want to participate because it's the right time in the market. They're not for us. It's the same as I would say to retail people. If your time frame is 3 to 5 years, that's the right time frame to invest with us. We need time to keep developing what we're doing. If it's, 3 to 6 months, we're not the one for you. Sorry. Because the price of gold will, well, the price of gold will fluctuate, and we're on a path for gold, silver, commodities to do extremely well. But no road to Rome was smooth. It's a bumpy road. It goes up, goes down. Summer's coming. I mean, people are interested in summer. So, but if you believe in the underlying fundamental, that's what to stick with. If you believe that junior stocks in general are fundamentally the place to be because that's where you're going to get the most leverage, is my own opinion. This is the place to be. But it's going to take, 3 years, 4 years in order for you to see the return that you get with the risk. And I'm not talking about your 10% for wealth management. I'm talking about your 100%, your 200%, your 300% returns. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, Robert, that got a couple other questions with that. One, really quick, you mentioned the word survivor. Love to get your thoughts on why that's significant award for you. You mentioned it more than once. And then two, when it comes to share structure, the one of the reasons why I invested was because of the tight share structure. It's the history of your share structure is pretty apparent that you guys actually care for the shareholders. And so when you talk about change, or when you talk about we might be looking very different, is there any room for concern there? And then two, what kind of change are you looking at? You mentioned the 18, 24 month time frame. I don't know what exactly substantially could be felt as different, or is it a difference that shareholders will feel immediately, if you can address those questions.
Okay, three separate questions. So the first one, survivor. I never, it was a an investor in Atlanta that brought that out, that we survived over the last 20 years. We survived all kinds of financial turmoil up and down, the market up and down. I never saw us as that. I didn't see ourselves or consider us as a survivor. I was just, well, this is the business and I invested in it. And everyone I know invested in it in the beginning. And so I had a mission and I had a job, and that was to make sure that this company survived and this company did well. So that's what I've done. Call it stubborn, stupid, or have a goal in mind and never quit the goal. Second question. What I'm talking about as far as change is that the three revenue streams, and the three revenue streams are going to make a significant financial impact on the company as it is. Is there any concern? No, I think that after 20 years, Steve, you can pretty much see a pattern and you can have a certain amount of reliability on what a management's going to do and what a CEO is going to do. If it was 1 year, 2 years, or whatever, yeah, okay, it might be in question, but now we're talking 20-year track record, I can pretty much rely upon that I'm going to consistently keep going down the same path that I've been going down. What could change, what could impact the company is a major discovery. And that would impact the company by share price. It's not going to impact the company in any other way other than share price, because you've made a major discovery where there's a mine. And so the bright people, the geologists, the scientific people will connect what that we do and what we've discovered to the system. So that would be the impact. And when I talk about the 18 to 24 months, it's the three revenue streams all coming online, all at their I'd say 75% capacity to make the difference to the bottom line. That's the forward-looking statement I made about the 165 million over 6 years. That's based on low numbers in today's market, but that's a significant impact into our balance sheet.
Robert, anything you can tell us about either any other advantages that you see that you guys have down in Mexico? I know that you guys are underground. If you can talk a little bit about that, as well as just kind of the impact you have on the community as well. We talked a little bit about the proximity of your projects. Any other things that you'd like to address more about, or anything else that comes to mind as to why this makes an exciting company and projects that you guys have right now?
Well, we're established in Mexico. We're recognized within the government and the communities as a responsible mining company, environmentally sensitive. And I use the word sensitive because we have dry tailings. We use dry stack tailings, so we actually extract the chemicals back out of the tailings. So that is an impact. Our reputation is that we care about the community, and that's been proven. That helps us, that carries us. And as far as communities are concerned, which is probably one of the most important things today, not probably, it is, we're viewed as a quasi-government quality company that takes care of the community and the people and the workers. So that's important in Mexico. And so should opportunities come, we'll definitely be considered as one of the companies that should be talked to. So when the government wants to talk about something as far as workers go or mining goes, and when it comes to small mines, we in the past have definitely been one of the companies that are considered to talk to. So that we have a good, stable reputation with the government for that. So is that important? Yeah, it's important for a Canadian company in a foreign jurisdiction, 100%.
And how often do you show up on site, and how involved are you guys in the community personally?
Personally involved in the community, not really, but but influence as to what happens, 100%. So I 100% direct and motivate and push for involvement. And Steve, I'm pretty direct with what I will support. And I support anything to do with children. Anything to do with children in the community, I support. If it's computers, if it's medical, if whatever for children, I support. If it's for cash for adults, I do not support it whatsoever. And the community knows that. They know that about me 100%. I'm known for that in the community. So am I involved? No, but they know who I am and they know what I stand for.
And as far as I'm concerned, you are so far the only company I know that makes custom vitamins.
It's not the community, it's the workers. What we did was we changed the menu of the food. We took it to be a significant amount healthier. We make everything on site. We no longer buy manufactured food for our employees. Everything is made on site. We grow, 35% of the vegetables that we use. And that should increase to about 70% in the next, I'd say, next 12 months, because we're going to go from horizontal growing to vertical growing. So those are like small things. And thank you for bringing that up, because I almost always forget, we're going to change from horizontal to vertical growing, and we're going to triple our production of vegetables. And what we don't use, we'll sell to our staff at our cost plus 10%. So those are small things that we do within the community and with the impact. To the people you work with.
Robert, for people who want to continue to follow your story, have questions, want to reach out, if you can give the ticker, your website, and where people can find you one more time.
Sure. Sam on the TSX. Starcore.com, starcore.com, investor@starcore.com, and your questions will get answered directly, would be the best way. And follow us on Natural Resource Stocks, because we'll be talking fairly regularly with Steve and updating you. And it's a great pleasure to have this platform to be able to discuss what's going on with the company and go to, like I said, Atlanta to be able to learn, you know, a significant impact on the company. And the last conversation we had was the seven different things that changed within the company from the last year. And so the next 6 months for us are going to be significant in positive change with the resources that we have. Often you look at your toolbox and you go, oh, well, that's my toolbox. It's been there for a while and I'm not using everything in the toolbox. Yeah, but I know it's there. So now I'm going to the toolbox and I'm using all my resources that are there. So,
yeah, the last interview was very helpful for me as an investor. So if you're listening to this, that is an interview worth listening to, and looking forward to the next one and seeing where things go in the near future. For our listeners, I want to disclose that I myself am an investor, and Natural Resource Stocks is, I guess we're partners in that way, but also StarCore is a sponsor, and we just want to disclose that up front. Do your own investment investigation, do your due diligence. I'm not giving investment advice One of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Robert, follow their symbol, follow the ticker, and continue to listen to the interviews here and learn more about what's going on. Robert, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.